so I can't give it to you. So anyway, she then left the home, understanding that that was the circumstance. But it just goes to show you that in the end, his connection with his daughter was not for himself, but was always based on the Sharia and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in one occasion, the Prophet alayhi salam, he mentioned that when someone steals, their hand needs to be cut off. And this rule is so established in the deen that the Prophet alayhi salam basically on one occasion said that even if Fatima radiallahu anha, na'udhu billah, had taken something in that manner, he would even cut her hand off. Meaning what he was showing was that all of this attachment to Fatima radiallahu anha and all of this love that existed between the two of them, it was not for themselves. It was not because the Prophet alayhi salam wanted to love his daughter. It was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained that. And so when the Sharia came in conflict with that love, then the Sharia was given preference over that love. And I'll tell you, a lot of times in this day and age, fathers or mothers, they make decisions against the Sharia for the sake of quote-unquote their family. Countless circumstances exist. For example, there's a home and they want to buy a bigger home, and they decide in their mind that the reason why they want a bigger home is for their family. So they'll go and buy that home on interest, thinking that they're serving their family, so it's permissible to break the Sharia, right? How many countless occasions like that exist? But in the end, you see the exact place where relationships are established and where the Sharia comes in this example of the Prophet alayhi salam and his blessed daughter. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala notices these circumstances as well. And he recognizes the sincerity that exists in both of their hearts. And so what happened was, later on that night, the Prophet alayhi salam once again knocked on their door and went and sat down once again in between the both of them on their bed. And then he told Fatima radiallahu anha, "But although I was not able to give you that servant earlier today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Angel Jibreel alayhi salam to give you something even better." And then he taught her the famous tasbihat, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, that you're taught to count on your fingers before you go to bed. So that famous dhikr that we count on our fingers before we go to bed, you know, Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, and then Allahu Akbar, all of that basically arose from this instance of this interaction between the Prophet alayhi salam and his blessed daughter. Anyway, her relationship continued with her father despite the fact that she got married. And I don't know if many of you in this room are old enough, but often when a daughter gets married, she disappears, right? Or when children get busy, they disappear. They go to college, they don't even call their parents anymore, right? They find friends when they get older, and then they totally, you know, just forget about who their parents were. But Fatima radiallahu anha, her attachment remained to her father. She regularly visited her father, she regularly interacted with her father, and she continued to live up to her nickname, Abiha, right? Mother of her father. Anyway, this was a circumstance in which the mission of Islam continued, and this continued all the way until very much towards the end of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. Now, in Ramadan, in the 10th year of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission in Medina, he was about to travel. Prior to the farewell pilgrimage, he called his daughter into the room. Now, in the 10th year, basically this was the final Ramadan of the Prophet alaihi wasallam. So after this Ramadan, he called his daughter into the room, and he said, "You know, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, every month in the Ramadan, he comes to me, and I recite the Qur'an to him once." So for those of you who know this, it was a habit, and the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam, basically part of the history of the revelation of the Qur'an, that the Prophet alayhi salam would recite the Qur'an completely to the angel Jibreel once every single year during Ramadan. All right. So he says to his daughter that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam came this year as well, but on this occasion we recited it twice. So I have a feeling that my time has come. All right. Now when he said this, his daughter became extremely depressed. But she began to recognize that obviously this was the decision of Allah, so it had to be accepted. Anyway, the Prophet alayhi salam, he then made his farewell pilgrimage, which was his Hajj, and then eventually he returned to Medina. And when he returned to Medina, he became seriously ill. And Fatima radiallahu anha, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, some of these people of particular depth, they began to recognize that this was a very unique illness of the Prophet alayhi salam, and likely he was going to move towards one step closer to his Lord in proximity through this particular sickness. So anyway, on one occasion, when he was extremely sick, He called Fatima radiallahu anha to the home in which he was staying, which was Aisha radiallahu anha's home. And he then called her close and he whispered something in her ear. Now when he whispered this into her ear, she began wailing. She just began wailing. She walked in the room normal, casual. And when he whispered this into her ear, she just was emotionally struck and she began wailing. Then he called her back. And then he whispered another thing into her ear and she began to laugh. So the extremity of emotion shocked everybody around them. How can it be that she walks in normally into a room, she gets a couple words into her ear and she begins to wail and cry like crazy, and then all of a sudden, a couple more words are whispered into her ear and then she begins to laugh. And she begins to just be absolutely elated. So they later on asked her what happened, and she basically explained that when he first called me towards his ear, he told me that I am going to be leaving soon. So those words had such an effect on me that I could not control my weeping. Then he called me closer and he told me, but you're going to be the first one to follow me. And those words had such a positive effect on my heart that I could not but begin to laugh. And so basically what happened was the Prophet alayhi salam passed away and Fatima radiallahu anha was never the same. She was never ever the same. How could she be? Because this weight that she carried on her shoulder was now gone. Then everything basically for her was the Prophet alayhi salam. So very shortly thereafter, 6 months later, actually less than 6 months later, she also became very sick. And when she became sick one day, she asked her servant, at that time she had a servant, because the community had become much more wealthy, so she asked her servant to lay her out in her field, in her garden. She called her husband, and she explained to her husband that she felt that likely, based on what the Prophet ﷺ had told her, that she was likely to also now pass from this earth. And so basically she then shortly thereafter expired, and she expired at the young age of 29. Just think about it. At the young age of 29, she expired. Now, basically, she was still a youth, because if you think about the technical definition of the youth, it goes all the way up until the age of 40. Alright? When you look at what is the definition of a young person, it's basically up till the age of 40. So she died in her youth. Now, in this such a short period of time, she was able to become such an essential building block of the deen that even in this day and age, we can sit down and reflect on her sacrifices, and there is nothing that parallels it. 1400 years have existed in which someone should have been able to rise up to the challenge and outstrip this woman in her ability to sacrifice, to struggle, and to establish the deen. Yet 1400 years later, despite that challenge, we still give her example, and all of us are dumbfounded. I'll tell you, the whole community of women in this day and age put together have not made this sacrifice that she made. Right? The whole community of males, for example, sitting in this room, together their sacrifice do not equate to the sacrifices that she was able to make. So, in the end, for us, there's tremendous lesson in our predecessors. And upon them, this deen was established. And I'll tell you, when you think about building a tall building, I don't know how many of you follow these types of architectural things, but basically, when you talk about building the Sears Tower,